Reading from the Jiva Dharma. I'm not sure what chapter, but let me see. Chapter 20, Prameya, Abhideya, Vaidhi Bhakti. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Naksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from paradise, Shamashram, in Cali, Colombia. Yeah, it really is just an amazing place. I mean, really, I've never anywhere met such pious people. And we just finished a 5-day bhakti course for about 40 people, very established, pious people. And it was wonderful. And I'll just share some realizations first. I'm probably in the least, I'll put it in one way, the worst consciousness to give class. Don't get alarmed, but I'll explain why. I put a lot of effort into that. That bhakti course, and it's crucial because here are 40 people who are, by karma, just being there, are on the cusp of bhakti. So I really give my all, and that kind of went well. And then I was finished, and I kind of thought, wow, I really can have a vacation. Because we didn't schedule too many programs. We just do wonderful satsangs in the ashram for a couple of hours. I'm going through the Narada Bhakti Sutras, and they're just such intelligent, devoted people. And, you know, the weather is absolutely perfect. The ashram is beautiful. And so many good people interested. So, you know, it's about, for 2 hours, the best students. This is why I think everything is perfect, you know, on the left side of my mouth. You know, a little painful when I chew. So one of the participants in the teacher training, and many of the teacher trainees were actually a percentage of them, not less than a third, maybe even half, I'm not sure, where people, it's kind of like the Bhakti Center, that are kind of interested in Bhakti also. So one of them was Oscar, and he's one of the most serious of the people that come around the ashram. He's really a devotee. And he's a dentist. I said, maybe I should go see Oscar. And they called him up, and he said, yes, come to see me. That was like 3-4 days ago, and I went to see Oscar. And the first realization what I had was America's a third world country, you know. I mean, everything's functional around it. It's beautiful. We went to this beautiful mall. I mean, really beautiful mall. And within the mall, they had kind of like a business center. And I went to the Oscar. We got an X-ray. First, they cleaned my teeth. And then he said, I have 8 cavities. I think in my whole life, I don't know, in the last 45 years, I don't know how many times they've gone to the dentist. And I'm almost confident that there's never a cavity or one small one. But somehow or other, you know, some of them were very deep. And one kind of so deep that maybe they were thinking root canal. But I've never such a modern, clean, you know, I don't know. It's just America is a third world country compared to what I was. But anyway, I went. So I've been there. This is the third day. I went there. And today, he worked for 2 hours on 4 cavities. And he suggested not to take anesthesia unless I really feel pain. And then I can put up my one finger. So it was only the last tooth. And I'm getting to something very practical. It's kind of a disclaimer for the class today. And that's the only way I'm going to become qualified. I finally put up a finger because the last one was very deep. And then I came back to the ashram. And, you know, we instead of 10 o'clock, we had satsang at 11 o'clock. We went for 2 hours. And then I took lunch. You know, our chef has become such a nice devotee. And he was a professional chef before. And then after lunch, I took a nap right before lunch. And after lunch, I took a nap. And I got up and I took a shower and I felt great. And I felt a little tired. You know, I said, okay, I'm going to give class. So maybe I should take a little more rest. And I went to bed for a few hours, which is like, I need so little sleep, really. And the previous night, I got up after 3 hours, and then I forced myself to stay in bed. But so kind of, and then it hadn't rained for a while. It was a huge thunderstorm, and the electricity blew out. And I usually call people through Skype. So one of the ashram members here, Camilo, you know, yoga teacher and one of the directors, he just happened to bring in his iPhone, and the miraculous thing, it called. But basically, I rolled out of bed to come to the class. And that's why I needed this little introduction. I may need a little bit more. But, you know, I had nice realizations when I'm sitting in that chair. And one realization is, I'm going to give you the realizations I had going to the dentist, and then I'll get into some Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the best I could do today. But one realization I had is, I had everything lined up. There's certain times, you know, there were no major problems, and I'm looking forward to everything. And at that moment, then the dentist, pinch. So that's always God's grace. Because when everything is lined up according to your desires, which happens so rarely, you tend to think you're the controller, because that's what a controller does. He lines things up according to his desires. And therefore the enjoyer, because that's what an enjoyer is. Enjoyment, material enjoyment means when things are lined up according to one's desires. I make this point many times. And when they are, you can be lulled into a false conception of happiness, which is not happiness because it's so superficial. Happiness is the mind and the consciousness. It's not the things around you. And it's temporary. So we really have to go to seek the happiness in changing our soul and changing our heart. And when things go too well, you become... Oh, okay. One second. I want to make sure I don't run out of... I got it. Okay. Okay, great. Somehow things mechanically are working. That's great. So you can become lulled into a false... a false sense of happiness. That was one realization. And the other realization is that he was drilling. And I guess it's best not to give anesthesia unless it's completely necessary. So he said, just raise your hand, I'll give it. So I was tolerating. And I was surprised how well I was doing. And I wasn't raising up my finger. And I saw how, when you live a simple life, and perform simple austerities, it extracts the consciousness from the body, at least more than I should have been able to do. And then the third realization I had was, I was complete, you're in the chair, you got the nurse, the doctor, the dentist, and the assistant over you, and he's doing it completely for free out of devotion, and I'm helpless. But in that helplessness, there's a certain feeling of shelter that's sweet. Even though it was a difficult situation, I was with people that had love and care. So I had a glimpse, this is our relationship with God. Actually, as little independence I had on that chair, that's how little independence we actually have. We're part of God. He's the controller and the enjoyer, but he cares. And that's shelter. In other words, I felt protected. I felt cared for, even though it was an uncomfortable situation. And it just gave me a glimpse. This is our position in relationship to God. Also, on another standpoint, the dentist was really serving me selflessly. So I can see, he was just an ordinary participant in the class. He was Oscar the dentist, a nice man. But I could see now I was developing some real affection for him. That also gave me a glimpse of bhakti. When someone really offers service selflessly, it touches your heart. And this is the guru-disciple relationship, and this is our relationship with God. Anyway, I'm going to write an entry in my journal. And I have two titles that I'm thinking of using. One is The Absolute Tooth, and the other one is Waves of Extraction. Okay, that's my sense of humor. Now we'll get to the Jiva Dharma, and there's no lights here, but There's no lights here, but you know, the iPad that Rutte was very kindly gave me, you know, it has a kind of at night vision. So what we're having here now, as far as I can remember, is in this wonderful novel about people coming to Krishna consciousness, the generation after Lord Chaitanya, as we were following people coming to Krishna consciousness and different types of people coming and hearing all the tattvas of Krishna consciousness explained according to the nature of the person who came, whether he was a materialist, a caste Brahmin, a Mayavadi, and we heard the subject that various people needed to be enlightened. And this, in that way, we learn the various tattvas or subjects of Krishna consciousness. We learn the various subjects of Krishna consciousness. We're also following the life of one person, a former logician, who's now initiated as Vrajanath, not just coming to Krishna consciousness, but being enlightened in Krishna consciousness. And I think this is a very, very important point. We need not only to become the International Society for Introducing People to Krishna Consciousness, we have to become the International Society for Making People Krishna Consciousness. And this requires siksha as well as diksha, as well as the commitment that I am the servant of Krishna. One needs the teachings and instructions to teach him the practices that make one the servant of Krishna. And that's called siksha guru. That's called bhajan. And in one sense, these classes, I feel rewarded because I'm teaching people. Not just taking their commitment, but actually and counseling them, but actually instructing them in Krishna consciousness. So what happened was as Vrajanath and his uncle Vijay had been going to Raghunath Das or Babaji Maharaj, as they have been going to him, they first learned what they learned was called the Dashamula. And its instructions. I think it maybe have been composed of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even not for this novel, but he's using it as a basic core instructions. There's 10 instructions that cover the gamut of devotional service. There's 8 on Sambandha Gyan, which is pramana and epistemology. Pramana is epistemology, our means of knowing. And then Pramaya, what is to be known, which is 3 subjects. And within Sambandha is the subject of metaphysics. What is the nature of reality? And there were 8 different subjects in reality, including Maya Tattva and Shiva Tattva, the different subjects of the material world and the energy and so many things we discussed. The 9th was Abhideya Tattva. What is the means of realizing the absolute truth? So there is the absolute truth or there's a truth, and there's a means. Now, our truth is God and his energies. God means God and his energies, who is a being whom we have a relationship with. So when we, all means of realizing the truth, the prayojana or the goal is realizing the truth. The Abhideya is the means, the goal is realizing the absolute truth, the subject that you want to study. And your metaphysics means your conception of reality, and Abhideya means your means for realizing it. So, but in bhakti, the conception of reality is a person, God, whom we are a part of, and by the process of bhakti, we may realize that, and the prayojana is love. That's the result when you actually understand that everything is God and God's energy. As Prabhupada said, you become thrilled every moment. And what's that thrill? You're in love. There's an energy between you and that entity called prema, which is the essence of the pleasure potency of that entity. And therefore, it is the inconceivable, indescribable greatest happiness. It is the thing with the greatest value, which is called prema. Prema pumarta mahan, the greatest artha, the greatest value, is prema. So now they heard Sambandha, they're asking, well, what is the means of realizing this absolute truth and feeling the result of doing so, which is prema or ecstasy? And Babaji Maharaj begins to actually summarize Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he explains this, he lists the 64 items of devotional service. And now he's describing them in detail, what they are. And he says, for entering into bhakti, 20 are most important. And he lists the rules, the 10 things we do to enter into bhakti, beginning with Guru Pad Ashraya, taking shelter of a guru and committing oneself to that guru and taking instructions to that guru and serving that guru intimately. And so forth and so on. And now he comes to the 10th practice, which is a little bit, the 10th item, which is the 10th primary way to enter into bhakti. And it is very puzzling because somehow or other, it doesn't have relevance to us to enter into vaidhi bhakti. It doesn't seem to be. I'll try to explain it as much as possible. But the item is, he asks, how does one offer respects, Vijay, such to trees such as the Ashvata, the banyan tree, and Amalaki. So Babaji quotes from the
answer. He quotes from the Skanda Purana.
Ashvata Tulsi Datri Go Bhumi Sura Vaishnava Pujita pranata dhyata chapayanti nirnam ogham. All of one's sins are destroyed if one remembers to perform puja and offer obeisances to the Amalaki and people tree, Tulsi, the cows, Brahmins, and Vaishnavas. So the 10th item is almost that a devotee should be environmentally conscious of the things in the environment that most support one's devotional service and honor and worship them. Of course, in this verse, from the Skanda Purana, it mentions Tulsi, it mentions the Brahmins, the cows, and the Vaishnavas.
So that is so important.
So he continues, Babaji, one who is qualified for Vaidhi Bhakti must maintain his journey in life while staying in this world. In Vaidhi Bhakti, you're not in the Himalayas, you're not in Radha Kund, basically. You are, have an understanding of the value of practicing Krishna consciousness, and you're obligated to do it, and you're doing it within the world. To do this, he is obliged to worship, meditate on, take care of, and offer obeisances to useful and shade-giving trees such as pipala, the fruit-bearing trees such as amalaki, to worshipable trees such as tulsi, to cows and other useful animals, to Brahmins who protect society by giving instructions on Dharma, and to Vaishnavas, the Vaidhi Bhaktas, protect the world by performing these activities. So, I don't know, it's just a nice concept. There's various types of trees that are shade-giving or fruit-bearing or spiritually inspiring. And I guess this helps one, you know, to be out in the world in a mood of service in relationship to the environment. Certainly for us, we should worship cows and tulsi and Brahmins and Vaishnavas. But that concept of you're in India and the, you know, you're getting shade from these big trees for your worship, and other trees are offering healthy fruit. There's the tulsi tree, of course, that's another category to worship. The idea of seeing God in the world and his mercy as he's sending, and how important are various trees. I'm culturally deprived. I grew up in Brooklyn. The most famous book about Brooklyn is A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, as if it's a big event. You know, actually, I'm here in the ashram, and one thing about the ashram here, it has just a lot of animals that you're interacting with. We have a beautiful horse. I've never seen such a big and beautiful horse called Praviksha. And we have several very affectionate dogs, two Doberman Pinschers, one named Gajendra, and another named Coco. You know, I didn't grow up with dogs. When I was 5, 6 years old, I was bit by a dog. And I had almost like a little bit of a anti-dog thumb scar because of that. But here you develop so much love for the animals. They're very affectionate. They're laying right outside your door. Anytime you're giving class, they want to come in the room. Maybe that's giving me a little glimpse of nature as a Brooklynite, of nature in the world and the type of gratitude that we're supposed to express. So those were the 10 favorable items completed, beginning with Guru Padashraya taking initiation grew in various items up to this 10th kind of puzzling item of worshiping sacred trees. But I hope I was able to give some insight to that. Now, the most important ones of the regulations of what we should not do. Vijay, please tell us in detail about giving up the association of people who are averse to Krishna. Babaji, when Baba appears, bhakti becomes very strong and deep. But as long as Baba has not risen, it is necessary to give up the association of people who are opposed to bhakti. The word Sangha association indicates attachment. Sangha does not just mean being near people and holding conversation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very practical. A satsang, giving up bad association, means giving up the intimacy with them. Of course, we have parents and other people who love us and care for us, etc., but the principle has to be understood. When you associate with a person, they have a world view, especially when you associate with them on their terms. And unless there's discussion, if you want to be in their sangha, you will have to live according to their worldview, generally, unless there will be conflict. So either there's three things when it's going to describe bad association and one says. Whether they're supportive and allow you to live in a certain worldview. Whether they don't and the relationship is such that you think you can superimpose your own worldview and then there's fight. Or it's their territory and you have to accede. So, you know, let's say you have a group of old friends and they have just completely materialistic conceptions of life and now your values have changed. When you go with them, then you have to live in their world and the way they see things. And maybe you still have those same attachments, so they affect you. And what bad association does, is studying this in Narada Bhakti Sutra, it incites within you latent bad samskaras. They come up, they came to the surface, they become more prominent. Latent bad samskaras. So you become affected. And that type of intimacy will infuse you with the values of the persons who you're intimate with. Sangha takes place when there is attachment in that proximity and conversation. It is quite wrong associate with people who are averse to Bhagavan. After Baba has arisen, one never has any desire to associate with such people. Consequently, those with the adhikar for Vaidhi Bhakti should always stay away from such association. The creeper of bhakti, bhakti lata, becomes dried up by aversion to Krishna, just as polluted air and too much heat destroy trees and plants. Vijay, who are those people who are averse to Krishna? Babaji, there are four kinds of people who are averse to Krishna. Those who are devoid of Krishna bhakti and are attached to sense gratification. So that's Vishaya. Those who are attached to associating with women. Stri Sangi. Those whose hearts are polluted by Mayavadi philosophy and atheism. And four, those who are entangled in fruit of activities or karma. One must give up the association of these four people. So, are there anybody like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Yeah, it's very faint for me and it's not my phone, but really thank you, Gail, for coming on.
No questions today.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Brajaradhe.
Wow, all the stalwarts. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, then I will go now. And somehow it was a miracle I was on, because I usually do it through Skype. And there, you know, the electricity is off, so the modem is down. And somehow this nice resident of the ashram named Camilo, it's so nice here. I mean, the core of the ashram is only four people. That's the way that we have some hired help. We have hired help. But the four people, they're very interested in learning Krishna consciousness. And I'm thinking I'm having a management meeting next time. We don't even know what to discuss. Relationships are good. The project's going forward. You know, there's just no real major problems here right now. But we'll have a meeting anyway. So it's just a pleasure here, my God. And, okay, thank you all. Great. Bunch of compliments.